Connecting the pieces.
My name is Jay Johnson. One night, the general decided that he had the solution to the problems that America was facing, so he decided to take the fate of his nation into his own hands. He crafted a number of orders for the men on his military base to follow. He then ordered his pilots to drop a nuclear bomb, thus kicking off World War III, which, at least according to his calculations, would have America come out on top and allow it to survive the nuclear holocaust with an acceptable loss of only 10 to 20 million people. Of course, no one else in his chain of command subscribed to his crazy ideology of a first strike, and that is why he took the initiative. Now, if you think this plot sounds familiar, it's because it is. It's a 1964 Stanley Kubrick movie, Dr. Strangelove. In that movie, a crazy man kicks off a series of events that destroy the planet, and despite the best efforts of other people to stop the looming apocalypse and the subsequent lessons that should have been learned, the leaders continue to fight and even propose a Nazi Ubermensch harem-like program where 200,000 people should be saved, the gender ratio should be 10 females to each male, and the women selected for their sexual characteristics, while the men should be selected on the basis of their physical strength, intellectual capabilities, and importance in business and government. Crazy, right? Now, speaking of crazy, a few weeks ago in August, Turkey invaded North Syria. The generally accepted idea at the time was that it was joining the West fight against the Islamic State, although many analysts point to the invasion as more of a taking the fight to Turkey's proclaimed enemy, the Kurds, in order to not let them establish a territory of their own. Of course, as the Middle East Online wrote, the Kurds were the only effective force on the ground in the fight against ISIS, so just let that sink in for a moment. The only group taking the fight to the crazies on the ground was now being attacked by a nation state. Then, a few weeks later, a ceasefire was negotiated between the two major powers in the region, America and Russia. ABC reported that the United States and Russia have hailed a breakthrough deal to put Syria's peace process back on track, including a nationwide ceasefire, improved aid access, and the joint targeting of banned militant Islamist groups. Of course, this wasn't the first ceasefire, but the document that was signed in Geneva was hailed as a major step forward. There was optimism in the air. Then, not even 2 weeks later, everything changed. CNN reported that US, British, Danish, and Australian aircraft may have incorrectly assessed intelligence and targeted a site that killed more than 60 Syrian Arab Army soldiers near Deir ez-Zor in eastern Syria. That's right. Although it is unknown as to why it actually happened, the fact remains that it did happen. And although mistakes do sometimes happen, it also just so happens that the Islamic State was able to capitalize on this mistake as they launched an attack immediately afterwards. And of course, this meant that the ceasefire was dead. Immediately afterwards, several things may or may not have occurred. Sputnik News reported that the Syrian intelligence possesses an audio recording of a conversation between Daesh terrorists, or the Islamic State, and the U.S. military prior to the Washington-led coalition's airstrikes on the government troops near Deir ez-Zor. While Fars News reported that Russian warships fired 3 caliber missiles at the Foreign Officers Coordination Operations Room in Dar ez-Zor region in the western part of Aleppo near Sinai Mountain, killing 30 Israeli and Western officers. Several U.S., Turkish, Saudi, Qatari, and British officers were also killed along with those Israeli officers, and the foreign officers were killed in the Aleppo operations room. They were directing the terrorist attacks in Aleppo and Idlib. Get that? Foreign officers from countries that, at least on our paper, are fighting the Islamic State were directing the terrorist attacks in Syria. So who exactly are the bad guys? And hidden among all of this, there are rumors that America has now established up to 7 bases in northern Syria. Of course, Reuters reported back in March that the United States had nearly finished setting up an air base in the Kurdish-controlled northern Syria and was proceeding with the construction of a 2nd base for dual military and civilian use. So this isn't new news. But the fact that America has boots on the ground is troubling, considering that back in 2013, President Obama said he did not foresee a scenario in which there would be American boots on the ground in Syria. And yet, here we are. So, why is this important? Well, according to The Express, U.S. Special Forces are encircling a jihadi stronghold in Syria claimed by ISIS to be an old Islamic prophecy as the site of the final battle, triggering the apocalypse. Now, the article goes on to note Dabiq, a tiny town in northern Syria, will see a major apocalyptic showdown with armies of the infidel that will result in the collapse of civilization, and Turkish troops, backed by American commandos, are understood to be just 3 miles from that town. That's right. In fact, the town is so important that ISIS even named its terrorist propaganda and recruitment magazine after the settlement. Now, jihadists believe the Prophet Muhammad remarked that the last hour will not come until an army vanquishes the Romans at Dabiq or Alamak. Romans in this case could arguably be Americans or Westerners, but most probably Christians. But it isn't just Islamic prophecy at play here. Christianity also notes that Syria plays a role at end times. Damascus is the oldest continuously inhabited city on the planet and has witnessed at least 5,000 years of human history. An unfulfilled biblical prophecy notes that the city of Damascus will become a heap of ruins, utterly destroyed. Few, if any, buildings will be left standing. And as crazy as that sounds, just search for images of the cities of Syria to see what they look like. There's nothing there. In fact, the final battle is called Armageddon, and according to the Bible, the kings of the world will meet and fight at a place called Megiddo, which apparently is in northern Israel and is only an 8-hour drive from Dabiq. Religious prophecies aside, there's a third prophecy about end times that could be about to come into play. Albert Pike, author of Morals and Dogma, an esoteric philosophical book about Freemasonry, allegedly predicted three world wars and wrote about them in a letter back in the 1870s. He wrote, "The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim, Arabic world, and political Zionism, the State of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion." As news events continue to come at a faster pace, maybe we should take a moment to appreciate the gravitas of the situation. Deutsche Bank may be the new Lehman Brothers, kicking off the next round of a financial meltdown that could bleed over into the real economy, thus leading to more people not working and more difficult times for the average man. The armies of the world are not only gathering, but are fighting in one very small country. Not against each other, at least not yet. Terrorist attacks and general uprisings are starting to become an everyday news item, not only in America, but in Europe as well. So, what do you think, dear listeners? Have the end times begun?